I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the latest Championship Club update from the Championship Roundtable. Today I'm joined by Andy Buckley-Taylor, a Derby County blogger, to discuss the latest goings on at Pride Park. We'll start with the Steve McLaren firing. Andy, what was your initial reaction to him getting the sack and sort of what has gone wrong for him this time around?
I wasn't surprised to hear the news yesterday. Looking back Friday night on live TV, we failed miserably yet again. And this time, I think it was worse than when we lost to Leeds. Leeds, you know, with a live TV audience, outclassed us from kick-off all the way through to the final whistle. On Friday night, Brighton pretty much did the same. We failed to make any sort of impression. It was a real lacklustre performance. And although myself and many other Derby County supporters thought that he might be given the summer and the opening, you know, few months of a new season, to tweak the squad and bring in players to improve it and offload players who were surplus to requirements. After Friday night, it had that feeling of, you know, we're just not going anywhere. We've in fact gone backwards from last season. And to see your team manager laughing on the touchline when you're 2-0 down is not a good sight at all. You know, I mean, people can say he needs time, he needs more time, but we're not getting any better. And if he does need more time, how did we go on that unbeaten run when he first took over initially? You know, we were struggling in, down towards the basement. He came in, he got us on a winning run. We went several games without actually conceding a goal. And yet now we're just crumbling. We're going down quicker than quicksand. So I think the signs are there, and I think the timing is now right is to bring somebody in before the end of the season so they can make their own assessment of the squad and then get to work ready for 17-18.
Yeah, I was reading some reaction from Steve McLaren's camp today, and they were saying that they thought that he'd done exactly what he'd been asked to do. He'd sort of come in, consolidated the team, and got you up to sort of a safe position where it looked like you could have been in a relegation fight under Nigel Pearson. Do you think that it's been more the performances rather than the results as to why he's been sacked?
Well, obviously the performances were disappointing. I think you have to really see the games to appreciate how bad we are playing at the moment. And, you know, when you've got like 30,000 people turning up week in, week out, they're going to demand better. Even if you're not getting the results, you should see some sort of indication that that things will get better. And to be quite frankly, they weren't. And, you know, he might be the victim of his earlier success, as to speak. But if a team is capable of going on such a long run, they should surely be capable of shaking off such lackluster performances. You know, it's quite baffling. But to be quite honest, the mistake was made reappointing him. You know, when we failed to get into the playoffs 2 seasons ago, the chairman decided that was not good enough. and he was fired for it. Then to simply do a complete U-turn and bring him back, I'd like to know why our chairman thought it would be any better this time round, because rarely is going back better than a first spell at a club.
Yeah, I just quickly want to ask you about a bit more about McLaren, because a lot of the Newcastle sort of based journalists have been discussing as far in as you would expect as he managed us last season. And the general consensus from them is that when he was at Newcastle, he was seen as too nice and he wasn't really respected by the players. And it might be that he's sort of been left behind by the game somewhat. Would you agree with that?
Having never seen him on the training ground, I couldn't really be qualified to comment, to be honest. Although he does come over of the sort of character that is probably, you know, a bit too nicey-nicey. And that would be in stark contrast with the image that the media portray of, say, Nigel Pearson before him, who comes across more as a disciplinarian. But, you know, I suppose it's striking the balance between the two, you know, not being over nice, but not being, you know, too strict. But, I mean, what I will say for him at Derby County, you know, it's not all bad memories he's leaving. He was a fringe player, but during his spell as number two to Jim Smith, was one of the best periods in recent years, unless you're, you know, as old as I am and can remember the Clough and Mackay eras. And it was actually when he was taken from us by Manchester United that our downward spiral started, and we've never recovered from since. I mean, most people in the game rate him very, very highly as a coach. But he's only really had two successes in all these different managerial spells. He had success at Middlesbrough. In fact, he's their most successful manager ever. Took him to the final of the UEFA Cup. He had that success before that as a number two to Alex Ferguson. In fact, he was Alex Ferguson's number two in his most successful spell ever. And he had success with his first spell at 20 Eskidane, but he went back there after the failing with England, and second time round it didn't work for him at Forest, and over with your team, you know, Newcastle, it didn't work there either. So perhaps Steve McLaren should reflect and stick to what he's got you know, an unblemished reputation for, and that's been a very good coach.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just before we move on to Gary Rowett and the news that is happening about him at the moment, I just want to ask you about Derby as a club. Overall, there's been a lot of opposition fans I've seen on Twitter in particular talking about Derby as a club that fire their manager too often, especially since Mel Morris has taken ownership of the club. Do you think that's a fair sort of portrayal of Derby, or do you think that a lot of the sackings that have happened have been sort of correct?
Well, if we go back to the sackings over the last few years, the first sacking was unattached to Mel Morris, and that was Nigel Clough. He'd been at the club nearly 5 years, reduced the wage bill, acquired some good players at bargain basement prices, got us away from the bottom of the division, away from there what was becoming an annual fight against relegation. But he just couldn't quite push us that extra mile to get us challenging to challenge for promotion. And his sacking was before Mel Morris joined the board. Now, it wasn't Mel Morris who originally appointed Steve McLaren either. That was the previous North American owners, GSE. McLaren had a very, very good first half a season, got us to the playoff final. And, you know, I'll be perfectly honest with you, the football that we were playing was absolutely outstanding. We were scoring at will. And it's just unfortunate that that one playoff final, ever since then, things have gone sour. You know, we dominated a game. We lost late in the game. But going back to that itself, I think Steve McLaren made an error of not playing a midfielder who had scored 16 goals that season. That's better than most strikers. Mel Morris came on the scene, I think, a few days before the playoff final he brought into the club. And then the following season, he basically took over, became majority shareholder, owner, chairman. And his first sacking by himself was Steve McLaren. And that was when we dropped out of the playoff zone 2 seasons ago, when McLaren had his eye took off the ball with all the speculation linking him to Newcastle. And he never once ruled out going to Newcastle until that season had finished and we'd failed to make the top six. So in came Paul Clement, which was a bit of an eyebrow raiser for me. The guy had experience at working with some of the best coaches in Europe, but I don't think we are a club that should be employing a guy who would be a complete rookie as a number one. Clement had a slow start, but then he hit a purple patch leading up to the Christmas period, and then things dropped off again, and we were looking like the team that McLaren left, struggling to get to grips with the game. And Clement was fired, and I don't think us fans will ever know the full reasons behind the firing. I wasn't particularly a big fan of Paul Clement, but I think there could be, maybe there could be a case made for him, should have been given a little bit more time. But there you go. So then Darren Wassell came in as the caretaker lead us for the rest of the season. We kept the place in the playoffs. As you know, we went out to Hull City. And under Darren Wassell, we were a bit Jekyll and Hyde. I don't think anybody believed he was going to get the job on a full-time basis anyway. So we get to this season, and there's a vacancy. And you look at the various candidates that are about. Nigel Pearson was a lot of people's choice. He came. He tried to change things a bit. It didn't work out. He was right to try and change them. You know, the 4-3-3 system had failed us. He was looking to an alternative 4-4-2. And where I think Nigel Pearson made his error was he brought in Matty Vidra, which on paper was a good signing, but Vidra does not play as a lone striker. And what he did, he let Chris Martin go out on loan to Fulham for the season with no recall clause in the deal. And I think that could have been the undoing, because had Martin stayed and played alongside Vidra, that is the sort of partnership that I believe may have worked. So anyway, as we all know, the history behind it, after some really dire football, and I'm talking, you know, you would really have to witness the poor football we played under Nigel Pearson to believe it. He was shown the door. myself, I think maybe judging by what's going on at Leicester at the minute with Craig Shakespeare, you know, he missed one of his right-hand men. So Steve McLaren is then reappointed. Now, this is the big error that I think Mel Morris has made. He brought back Steve McLaren, who had left due to that end-of-season collapse. I'm a big believer in never go back. And I think Mel Morris here has made it was a big error of judgment in bringing him back. Should have started from afresh. And I think if you cast your mind back to when Pearson was sacked, Gary Rowett was the manager that I said that I would like to see take the place of Pearson. It didn't happen. And of course, we get to where we are now. After hitting an unbeaten run, we're now on the slippery slide down a division and heading towards mid-table. So that's where we are now.
Yeah, you mentioned Gary Rowett there. We'll come on to him now. Do you think that's an appointment that's going to excite Derby fans? Because he's obviously an ex-player and he's done wonders with both Burton and Birmingham, that you would say are sort of historically smaller than Derby. So to move to that sort of bigger club, he could be the right man to lead a revival at Pride Park and maybe get you into the Premier League, not this season, but maybe next season.
Well, I think Gary Rowett's done, he's took a good route, to be quite honest, because he went to Burton Albion and they were struggling under Paul Pesci-Solido. They'd had the good years under Nigel Clough, who left them set up to get promotion into the league. Paul Pesci-Solido, by the time he left, they were, you know, coming up against the brick wall. They were on the decline. And initially, I was quite surprised when Gary Rowett got the job there on a full-time basis, because in his first couple of games, I'm sure he got a real hefty beating. But he got the job on a full-time basis, did a fantastic job there, and he left them at the top of the table. And obviously, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank took over, and Hasselbank was over-credited with that promotion, in my opinion. All the groundwork, all the best recruiting of the players was done by Gary Rowett. And when Gary Rowett then, excuse me, was offered a job at Birmingham, I thought he was an absolute head case taking it. They were lingering down the bottom of the Championship, no money, and they looked destined to be heading for relegation. And he came in, and the best players had been sold. He had no money. He steadied the ship. And by the time that they dismissed him, you know, earlier this season, what were they, 3 points off third place? Now, to me, he's made a natural progression, because you've got Burton Albion, which are a small side. He's gone to Birmingham, which are like a mid-sized team. Derby, without being big-headed about it, I think we're a bigger club than Birmingham. I wouldn't call us a big club at the moment. We're potentially a big club, but I think there's a natural progression there. And I think his past experiences, especially at Birmingham, could put him in good stead to tackling the job at our place. And if all the rumours are true, and if, as expected, he's appointed manager, I think it's the right avenue to go down.
Yeah, he would have had a lot of offers since he got fired from Birmingham, and he stayed out of the game. I've seen he was linked to Norwich over the last week, and maybe that is why Derby have acted now rather than waiting until the end of the season. What sort of changes do you expect him to make to the squad? Because from when I watched his Birmingham teams, they're a little bit more functional than what Derby have been under Steve McLaren. Do you think it's going to be sort of a change of formation, and there will be changes to the squad made during the summer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Gary Rowett will use the games left to assess the squad. So this is where I think fans have got to be patient. He will want to see players, what they can do, how they perform. There's going to be some losses. I think this will be the experimental stage where he looks at what he's got, keeps what he believes will fit with his style of football, and he will offload those that he doesn't want. I don't think he'll be afraid of giving one or two of the youngsters a run out. And overall, you know, I think he's a totally different type of manager, because I've heard conflicting reports of what style of football he plays. I think Gary Rowett, to me, is a manager who will play to the strengths that he's got at his disposal. And he will, from what I'm told, will look at the weaknesses of other teams and exploit them in the best way in which he can.
Yeah, just before we finish up for today, I just want to talk to you about your hopes for Derby now for the rest of the season and for the future, because there's a core of good players at Derby. For me as a neutral looking in, Will Hughes is very talented. You know, you've got Darren Bent, who can score goals in this division. It's just a solid sort of championship squad, and one that should be competing in the top six. Do you think that is where you will be next season?
Possibly. It depends. With financial fair play and with us operating within the regulations, I think we will see who's going to leave the club, who's going to stay, what areas we need to improve. I believe we could possibly be a top six side next year. I wouldn't guarantee it, but I think the whole strategy of the club has got to change, because there's a core of players at Derby now that's been at the club over this past 3-4 seasons where we failed to reach the promised land. And I think there's one or two of them that need moving on, not because they are necessarily bad players, but like you mentioned, Will Hughes, he's 21 now. He's like a veteran player at Derby, having made his debut when he was only 15. And I think if Will Hughes is striving to play in the Premier League, then he's got to be looking at a move in the summer. I think possibly the same could be said of Tom Ince. I know he's had a full season in the Premier League when he was at Blackpool, and he didn't disgrace himself. He's one or two of those sort of players. And that pair, I think, we'll be lucky to keep hold of. And there's probably the areas that we need to strengthen up in. We seem to have a lot of midfielders, but no real, what you'd call a big, beefy midfielder to do what one would call the donkey work. A real leader in there. A sort of character we had years ago, like Seth Johnson. You know, there's various tweaks, and there's various things that need to change within the squad. And hopefully it will be achievable through the summer to at least, you know, start the ball rolling. Maybe take a row at two or three transfer windows to get the finished article. But overall, I think as a club now, we've got to look in the longer term. And for the rest of this season, you know, let's just finish as high as we can.
Yeah, certainly exciting times at Derby. But with that, we are now out of time. So thanks so much for joining us today. And if you want to tell people where they can reach you, that would be a good time.
Yes, I'm on Twitter. My user handle is at booktaylor64. I'm also a blogger for the Derbyshire Times group of local newspapers.
Yeah, and that's it for this club update from the Championship Roundtable. And we hope you keep listening.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.